You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
Hey, everybody. This is Doug Robertson of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution with another edition of the Southern Fried Soccer Podcast. It is August 31st. If I sound a little bit goofy today, it's because I had my last wisdom tooth removed this morning. So I'm biting down on gauze out of one side of my mouth and talking out of the other. But some of you may say that I've been talking out of both sides of my mouth for a long time now. I'm joined today by Franco Panizo of SBI Soccer. We're going to preview Wednesday's game between Atlanta United and Inter Miami. 7 p.m. FS1 on television, 92.9 FM in Atlanta and the South on your radio, or you can follow my coverage and Franco's coverage on Twitter. Franco, where can people find you?
Yeah, so on Twitter, just like you said, Doug, and as well as sbisoccer.com is where my daily writing is. And I've also started a podcast myself that also has a YouTube channel that's called Miami Total Football, F-U-T-B-O-L. Where I do things mostly in English, some in Spanish, just covering Inter Miami on the day-to-day as much as possible during these coronavirus times.
Make sure you're following Franco. There are a lot of former Atlanta United players on Inter Miami. Inter Miami is 1-6 and 0 this season, losing 1-0 at Nashville last night in a game that it looked like statistically it dominated, but just could never find that goal, which is kind of the opposite of most of the season, in which they've scored enough but couldn't stop people from scoring that winning goal.
Yeah, so, I mean, the stats tell the story, but if anybody that watched the game would probably not come away with the same impression that the stats can give you. Mm. Even though Diego Alonso, after the match, was very keen to point out the shot disparity that Inter Miami had in relation to Nashville SC, but just over the course of the 90 minutes, Inter Miami just didn't look like they did a week ago against Orlando City in that historic first win. The team just didn't have much of an attacking bite or an attacking edge to their game. The team just can't build up and create quality chances. It doesn't have much creativity. Did it have a lot of shots? Sure, but a lot of them were off the mark. They finished with 5 shots on target, and most of those were of the they were saved in the routine variety by Nashville SC goalkeeper Joe Willis. It wasn't like he had to make an incredible stop. If you watch the highlights, there was no real incredible stop that Joe Willis had to make to preserve that shutout for Nashville SC. It's just Inter Miami's maybe got into the final third and put pressure on Nashville, but just didn't have that final bit of quality or sharpness to create quality looks and obviously get that equalizing goal.
Well, then this has the makings for about the most boring game in MLS history, because Atlanta United is also having trouble creating quality chances. They scored a goal against Orlando on Saturday by Brooks Lennon near the end of the game. But really, other than that, other than a save by Pedro Galiz early in the game, he didn't have a whole lot to do for the remainder of the game. It was a very professional performance by Orlando City against Atlanta United, which is just – it's really, really struggling. It's been struggling most of the season. A lot of people wanted to blame Frank DeBoer. I don't think he should be blamed entirely. I think a lot of the issues are still going on for Atlanta United. Lack of communication on defense and offense that just doesn't have a lot of speed going forward right now with the starters chosen. How do you see this game kind of going on Wednesday, Franco?
No, I guess the analysis I had a week ago can still apply before the last week's game was canceled here or postponed here in Fort Lauderdale. Because when I had seen Atlanta, I didn't get to watch their most recent game, but when I saw Atlanta United in their win against Nashville. I saw a team that likes to have the ball and can keep possession, but that also still has some struggles and some issues trying to break down opposing teams, especially if they sit a little more deeper in their in a mid or deep block like Nashville did against Atlanta. So I think Atlanta's going to have the ball. I think Miami knows that it's not doing a very good job in terms of keeping possession. So I think Atlanta will have the ball. Then it just comes to a matter of if they can execute or if they can get Pity Martinez to create some magic like he did against Nashville a couple weeks back. Miami, the game plan will probably be similar to what it was against Nashville last night and against Orlando City a week ago, in that they'll concede possession and try to hit on the counter. Obviously, they did much more effectively against Orlando City, where they got three goals in that home opener, or that home opening victory, but they didn't do it a great job of it last night against Nashville. So it's just unclear which Miami team we'll see, but I do fully expect that Atlanta will have the ball and will have plenty of opportunity to score goals or and put the game on their terms if somebody can step up and be that difference maker that it's kind of been hit and miss for Atlanta United these last few weeks and months.
Yeah, Atlanta United, it really, to be blunt, it doesn't have a lot of players that are going to beat you off the dribble. Mm-hmm. Maybe people don't seem to like Jake Mulroney, but he's really the only one that seems to even want to try to take someone on the dribble to create a scoring chance. The rest of the time, they're trying to do some nice little passing sequences. They did a couple against Orlando in their third and the middle third, but really didn't have anything going in the final third. I'm going to be curious to see on Wednesday if Eric Kubo Torres starts at striker, if Jurgen Damm starts as a right wide player, because they need some speed. They need somebody to threaten. Mm-hmm. Teams don't even have to sit in a deep block against Atlanta United because they don't have any speed going forward. They can play as high a line as they want to and know that if someone does get by them, they're likely going to be able to catch them. Right now, it's a weird, weird thing to watch. It's, you look at the roster and you think there's quality here, but you try to find the right pieces to put on the field at the same time. It was a struggle for DeBoer and Steven Glass. It's too early to give a verdict on him because he's only been in charge for two games.
I think Miami's going through something similar where they're still trying to, obviously this is their first season. They've only played seven games to this point. But I think that they're going through a similar process in terms of trying to figure out just what the best lineup is, what the best tactics are. I think Diego Alonso is still figuring things out about himself as well as the team. So both teams go into this game with plenty of question marks. Mm-hmm. I think again, Atlanta United, though, will have the possession in this one. And I think if they can get PT Martinez isolated or if they can get him involved and engaged early and often, then I think that stands or bodes well for their chances to win this one. Because, like you said, there aren't that many players right now in Atlanta that are difference makers or that can break open a game necessarily on a consistent basis. PT's one. I know Barco's obviously probably another one, but he's dealing with his injury. Maybe Jurgen Damm can be one, but he's obviously still getting integrated into the group. So for Miami, it's similar in that maybe Pizarro's the one guy that consistently can give you goals. But overall, Miami also lacks true difference makers. And I think that's why both teams have been struggling a little bit in recent weeks and in recent months. But we'll see. I think Atlanta United can win this one if PT Martinez is engaged, because he's probably going to be the best player or the most talented player on the field come Wednesday.
You keep mentioning Pity Martinez. From an outsider's perspective, when you've seen Atlanta United highlights and watched their games, what have you seen from him?
Obviously he hasn't lived up to the billing that he had when he first arrived. But I think you can see in moments, especially when the team plays a little more aggressive or attacking, a little more direct, that he can make difference. Like the game against Nashville, I watched that game from start to finish, and he looked engaged. It wasn't just the two goals that he was involved in. He also passed the ball well and looked obviously, he probably maybe was a little bit motivated with Frank DeBoer not being there, but he looked more like his usual self that we've seen him throughout the years in South America. with River Plate. I know, again, with Atlanta United, it hasn't always been that. It's kind of been lackluster at times. He hasn't necessarily physically been matched up well with certain teams. But I think the talent is there, and I think he can give you that. It's just a matter of finding the right system that works to him, because you have to play through him. And he has to be that guy that you run the attack through for him to really succeed, I think. But in that Nashville game that Atlanta won, I think you saw bits and pieces of that, especially that first goal. If I'm not mistaken, Nashville comes on a quick direct attack that leads to Dominic Baggi almost in one-on-one with Brad Guzan. Guzan came out off his line really well and stops the ball or stops the shot before it ever gets taken with his foot. And in that moment, Atlanta played quickly and directly, and they found PT Martinez isolated one-on-one on the wing. I think it was Remedy that played a long ball to him on the flank, and then PT Martinez there had the confidence to do what he does or conjure up his magic that he's capable of and did things on the dribble before slotting home. So I think he has that in it. It's in his game, and he can do more of that. It's just a matter of finding how to best utilize his attributes.
Yeah, I think he's a quality footballer. It's just the Nashville game, he played really well. The Red Bulls game in Orlando, he played really well. But the consistency is just not there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned playing the ball through him. Well, when Atlanta United does play the ball through him, he often attempts these highly difficult passes that just don't come off. Mm-hmm. And then it's a turnover. I was looking at his passing statistics today on fbref.com, and he's completing, like, I think it's less than 70% of his passes as a midfielder, and that's just not good. So, anyway, we'll see what happens. Is Matuidi going to start on Wednesday, or is he going to be on the bench, do you know?
So, I don't believe that he'll be in uniform for this one. He had not arrived as of last week, and even when he does arrive, he has to go through a 14-day mandatory quarantine period. So, it's very unlikely that you'll see him in this one. It's starting to look like he might not even factor in at all in phase one of the resumption of the MLS regular season. Inter Miami had said that they expected him to get some minutes at some point during the stretch. But, I mean, if he doesn't arrive in the next few days, it's going to be pretty tough for him to make his debut over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I wasn't aware that he hadn't even arrived yet. That seems odd.
Yeah, I mean, you know how it is. And obviously, publicly, Inter Miami has said that he's going through the visa application process, which, you know, fair game. It is a complicated or sometimes a complicated process where it can happen either really quickly or it can be drawn out. But at the same time, he's also coming off a very long season with the Juventus. So I wouldn't be surprised. It's not something I'm reporting. I'm just, you know, it's just a supposition on my part. I wouldn't be surprised if he negotiated in there, you know what, let me get 2 weeks of vacation before I resume, you know, the season for the second half of this year. Let me get some downtime with my family. Because he definitely, there was images and videos of him on his Instagram on a boat with family members and enjoying some good downtime over the past week. But again, no, the official reasoning or the reasoning Inter Miami has given has been that his visa application process is still being worked on. So until that's proved and he can clear those hurdles, then he's still TBD in terms of when he'll arrive.
Maybe he's taking his boat from Italy to Miami. Maybe that's what's taking so long.
Man, maybe. That wouldn't be a bad trip for him.
So Rodolfo Pizarro, I would assume, has been Miami's best player this season, in your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's between him and Nico Fegal, who Argentine defender who was signed at the beginning of the year, started playing center back, is more of a natural center back, but has been used out on the right in recent games. He did play there a bit in Argentina. He's not a natural right back, but he is capable of playing there, is good defensively, and is capable of getting into the attack. I think that matchup that he'll have with PT Martinez will go a long way towards determining what happens and who wins on Wednesday.
And then I saw this morning that Inter Miami is finally tied, maybe concretely, to a number 9 in Higuain. Any truth to those rumors/reports?
So there were reports that came out over the weekend saying that they're in talks with Higuain, and advanced talks. I haven't heard anything officially or anything from the sources that indicate that it's definitely happening, or that there's tangible substance to that rumor, because as you know, Inter Miami has been linked with almost any big name in the game at this point. Call it the Beckham effect or the Beckham factor, or, you know, good PR. But
good agents.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Higuain does make the move, or if there is truth to that, because he's in a similar situation to what Blaise Matuidi was in, right? He's at Juventus, who is looking to change things up and rejuvenate their squad, looking to get rid of some older players with bigger contracts. It's what they did with Matuidi. They let him go on a free. Inter Miami didn't have to pay a transfer fee, was able to just, you know, give him a salary or agree to a number and bring him on board. And the same thing could happen theoretically with Higuain. He's surplus to requirements there. Juventus wants to get rid of him, so they could let him go on a free, and then Inter Miami then just has to come down to paying him, you know, the numbers that he wants for his salary, and his contract doesn't have to pay a transfer fee. So I think it could happen. I think there might be some truth to that, because, you know, Inter Miami's been looking for a number nine or looking for a DP star attacker for much of the year, and they haven't been able to get one. So Higuain helps check off some of those boxes, and he would do so with probably coming on a free, which is a big added boost for the club.
Would he be a difference maker for Miami?
I think he'll score goals. I don't know if he necessarily helps the function of the team in terms of how they want to play, because they're a team that wants to be dynamic and run and take the game to the opponent. I don't know how much pressing you're going to get out of Higuain at this stage in his career, but yeah, he'll score goals. I mean, I don't think you can doubt that, even at his age. And even if he has declined, I don't think you can say that he won't score goals in Major League Soccer, especially if he was just doing so in Serie A with the reigning champions, Juventus.
Yeah. All right. So, again, tell everyone how they can find your fantastic work.
So I'm at Franco Panizo on Twitter. I write daily on SBIsoccer.com. I also do some podcasting and some video work now on YouTube at Miami Total Football, FUTBOL. It's mostly centered around Miami, but occasionally I do sprinkle in some Atlanta and other team coverage as well. So always something to look forward to, and it's been fun. I'm trying to become like a triple threat here. So, you know, it's the new age. I used to just want to write. Now I'm trying to do video and audio, and it's like, yeah, man, I'm trying to diversify myself a little bit, but it's been fun.
Franco and I first met, I think it was in Orlando in 2017 when Atlanta United went down there to play at Exploria Stadium. And we run into each other quite a few times, All-Star Game in Orlando, any of the home games in Orlando. So it's good to see you again here on this Zoom call. And it's good to hear your voice again. And I'm glad that everything is working out well for you down there.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, we saw each other a good bit up there in at Red Bull Arena as well.
Yeah, that's true.
I was living in New York. Yeah. I was living in New York for a while, even though I'm a Floridian, born and raised and at heart, now back in South Florida. But it's been crazy how the years have passed so quickly. Doug is actually one of the nicest guys. You know, I know maybe you get some stick on Twitter, but Doug is actually one of the nicest media members in the American soccer world, and you could throw Canadian soccer world too, because there's Canadian teams in MLS. I will say this really quickly before you let me go. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a familiar face in the lineup on Wednesday. Breck Shea could be a candidate to start at left back for Inter Miami, just because of his two recent performances off the bench for the team. He's looked good off the bench, given some things going forward, and that combined with the inconsistencies Ben Sweat has had at left back could pave the way for Breck Shea to start. If he doesn't, you'll still probably see him off the bench.
He got a lot of stick from Atlanta United supporters when he started last season for the team. I thought he did a fine job for the team. People still fail to remember he was not a fullback, not even a wingback, until I think Orlando, he came back to MLS with Orlando. So he doesn't have a lot of games. He doesn't have a lot of hours at that position. But I thought he did the job asked of him. with Atlanta United. I can understand on his salary why they didn't renew his contract. But I think he's a solid player for Major League Soccer and will do a solid job for Miami. I don't know what people expected out of him, but anyway, that's my little rant about Brett Shea. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Doug Robertson AJC, on Facebook at Atlanta United News Now. I hope that you'll consider subscribing to the Southern Fried Soccer podcast on iTunes and Spreaker. Again, Atlanta United is hosting Miami 7 p.m. Wednesday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, FS1. Please watch for it on FS1, or you can follow our live Twitter coverage, which will be a little bit faster than FS1. And that's Southern Fried Soccer. Thank you. Y'all have a good day. Take care of yourself. Be safe. Be smart.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
I'm Ernie Suggs, race and culture reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And I'm Ned Ravone, lifestyle columnist. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. I've been living here for 24 years, and I am still amazed at how rich the city's Black culture continues to grow. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
Like historically Black colleges and universities.
Atlanta's thriving arts scene.
And the city's growing neighborhoods.
Wherever you live, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what issues are important to you.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
Only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.